This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Mark Schlereth with the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. The NFL season is in full swing, and I'll be here to break down all the action like no one else can. Follow and listen to the Stinkin' Truth Podcast on your free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
After winning the first two in Denver, they go back home, lose both. Anthony Edwards says, listen, I love it. Jamal Murray's talking. We're going to show him and everything else. Still looks like he's got an air of swagger about himself. Now, he did score 44 in game four. It wasn't enough, but he should be feeling good, frankly, about the way he's playing. Denver, as of right now, over at FanDuel, a four-point favorite as this series shifts back to Denver. They now have home court back. Brad, what say you?
Well, this one we've also had some line movement, it appears, right? You've got it at -4 now?
Yes.
So we've moved from earlier this morning when I researched it. It was 4.5 before I made the circle. So, Timberwolves may be picking up a little speed here. However, the ESPN predictor, which is a fun graph that has one bar bigger than the other, has the Denver Nuggets right now. Looking at the injury report, Murray is a game-time decision. He'll play. Mm-hmm. I mean, what's it? As the little scab?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
He's going to play.
He will play. I've always liked the Nuggets. There was a time there when we went away and we were down 0-2 where I was like,
Us and Charles Barkley and just about everybody else in the
Everybody
country.
Flipped. I'm flipping back to the Nuggets here. We're at home. As you heard, 92.9 will play the game at 9:30. I've got Denver -4 tonight on 92.9.
I think you're smart to believe that Denver's going to win this game.
Yep.
Because they really going to lose three home games in this series?
I don't think so.
I have a hard time with that.
I don't think so.
I have a hard time with that.
I think experts would even pick this. But I am picking Denver, and I'm picking the Knicks. I'm going with both favorites tonight.
The other thing about it, it was weird. They were at their best when Rudy was out. Now, how is that?
Interesting.
The defensive player of the year, when he was out, they had one of their best defensive performances of the season.
Yeah.
I think held Denver to, 80 points in that game?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Rudy Gobert, obviously a presence, a game changer. I mean, he's the defensive player of the year for four times.
Yeah.
What are we talking about here? But there was something off last game with him being back. There's just something off with him since he's been back.
It's having a child. It'll screw you up.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it might just be that he's not a winner come this time of year. I can't put it all, as I like to say, at his feet. Solely at his feet. It certainly ain't Anthony Edwards. He gave him just I can't put my finger on it. He threw them off in those games in Minnesota. Fell certainly in game four. That said, I'm going back to the point. Denver's got control of this thing.
Yeah.
And they're not losing three straight games at home to open this series. I just don't see it happening.
I also will take a step further.
So I'm afraid you're right here.
I think Denver will win the series and in straight fashion here, close this out 4-2 and win the next two. And I think,
you don't even think game seven.
No. Yeah. No, I don't think we're going to get to a game seven.
They have shown Minnesota that, there's still another level just because we slow played in those first two games. And
it was a
wake-up
call.
Start of game three. Yeah, that Minnesota, you haven't arrived yet. We've still got some more showing you to do in terms of how you win these kinds of games.
Honestly.
Denver's taking it up a level.
As
certainly
a Grizzlies
Jokic
fan,
has.
As a Grizzlies fan, I like it because I don't want them to be there yet.
We wanted OKC and Minnesota to stay unproven.
Just cooled
in,
out
in these
a little
moments.
Bit. Yeah,
we absolutely did. And I think certainly Denver has given them, served them up a nice little slice of humble pie.
Right.
There's no question about that. But not just that, they've probably taking back control of this series here tonight. Again, Denver really going to defending champs, really going to lose three straight at home to open the series? I don't think so tonight. Brad showed us, though, he's got a power that goes beyond human understanding.
We saw it last night in full.
It goes beyond right the favorite. I mean, Brad's been on a little trend here picking favorites for a while.
Yeah.
Didn't help him last night. Goes 0 for 2.
Now, the line is important. That's why we're using the spreads on these picks, so that record
is what makes
indicative.
It more difficult.
I think I'd have a better record if it weren't for the spreads.
Absolutely would. But as it stands now, you are bad at this.
Terrible.
21 and 34. Yeah. And frankly, it's the fuel that keeps this segment going.
Amen, brother.
So bless you how bad you are at this, because in doing so, for our listeners that are paying attention to our advice here, you are blessing them with wins. So that's your segment for today on Fade Brad. He's on the favorites. Nuggets -4, Knicks -1.5. We've got more to do here in hour number 3. Nick Friedell, our Odyssey NBA insider, going to join us about 1:25. And then before we get to that, I want to touch on maybe some Memphis football again. I saw them in another list that I thought was very interesting.
I saw that too.
We again get set for a huge, huge season for Memphis football in terms of expectations. Those seem to be being set right now in terms of what this team can do. A little bit more that I saw over at ESPN on the Memphis Tigers football program, what Ryan Silverfield is doing over there. You're listening to Jason John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. The Live Love Memphis Group. They're fantastic at what they do at the real estate agency. Jennifer Carstensen, one of a kind. Great businesswoman. But she's not just in it to make a dollar and take care of her family. She's in it to improve the city of Memphis. Her way of doing that. We've all got our own little way, right? Well, hopefully we all do. Hopefully we're all trying to improve the area in which we live. Her way is lowering rentership in Memphis. Rent's going up. It always is in Memphis. A lot of cases, you do it better with a mortgage. You just don't know it. You don't know that you can afford it. You have no idea because you've never tried. Maybe you just got questions and you've never really asked them because you're intimidated by what those answers could be. Call up Jennifer Carstensen at the least. She's going to be a great resource for you. 901-625-5200. She'll tell you what this market looks like. And whether or not whether it's the time to jump in. And she'll be honest with you. She's going to be more honest in a lot of cases than other agents, certainly more so than investors. And if you're in a situation where you're ready to move, whether that's in DeSoto County, you're in Shelby County, or over in Nashville, think about Jennifer Carstensen. She's going to get you the most money for that home. Did it for me. Did it for my man, James Homerun. McKenzie made so much money, he moved up out of the state. The Vannemans, who other agents had told, we can't help you. You're too far underwater. Jennifer helped them as well, got them into their dream home. She can handle it on both sides. I love singing her praises. They've been with us pretty much the entire run of this show. John and I have been blessed enough to have on 92.9 FM ESPN. Jennifer believed in us. And I tell you what, we have believed in her for a long time. I know it, again, from personal experience with her having sold my home. 625-5200 is the most important thing. It's how you get the process started. Get a hold of Jennifer Carstensen and her fantastic team. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency. We have talked probably more in previous years at this time of year about Memphis football than ever.
Yeah. I agree, yes.
And I think it's for a very good reason that we've laid out. Ryan Silverfield has done a very good job, now armed with a contract extension, of putting this football program in a place where it feels like it's ready to take off. And take off in the sense that you're not just an AAC contender, you're the team in the AAC, and you need to be.
Yep.
We've laid this out, but very quickly, obviously SMU is gone. Tulane is replacing a coach and a quarterback. You know, those teams have been the standard. You've needed and wanted to be part of that standard here the last couple of years, haven't been able to do it. This year needs to be that year. Back to that point, you've also got, obviously, in terms of how this program's set up to take off, the huge, huge news that was FedEx, you know, offering $25 million over the next 5 years. Now, Memphis has got to match some of that money and do its part, just like it has to do with the facilities, $50 million that FedEx unlocked in terms of projects both at FedEx Forum and at Simmons Bank. But the point is now, $25 million over 5 years, much of that $25 million going towards your program, you're set up in a way like few G5, few other Group of Five programs are. Not to mention, and we keep saying, you can't say it enough, you've got more in terms of corporate backing with one of the best, you know, best businesses in the world with FedEx. But this $25 million that they're stepping up with, that's a better deal with a corporation, with a known, well-known brand like FedEx, than a lot of power structure programs have. So you are absolutely ready to take off. And we've seen whether it's CBS Sports has Memphis among its top three in terms of those group of five teams, right, that can look like they've got the potential not just win their conference but be that representative in the college football playoff. They're talking about you. USA Today had you number 25 in the country, which in their eyes was in their way too early top 25 for next season, which in their eyes was the best group of five. You were rated above Boise State. They didn't have Liberty in the others, the other school that was mentioned by CBS Sports as one of those other possibilities to be the G5 representative college football playoff. Said all that to say, best position this football program's ever been in. Oh, by the way, they got a fourth-year starter coming back at quarterback, which few in the country. We're still looking for ones that have been as prolific as Seth have. Few in the country can brag that they have, okay? So it's all set up. You're bringing in SEC talent. You're replacing running backs that are going off to the NFL, in this case undrafted free agent Blake Watson, with running backs from South Carolina that ran for 700 yards, effective in the SEC. You're bringing in Tennessee's leading tackler from last season. You know, some of this, obviously, as a result of now these the resources that you've got. And for it's so different from the way we've talked about this program in the past, because so often we approach the conversation, that conversation has always been framed with Memphis is one of the have-nots. So how do you get it done when you don't have? Well, now they have, and you've got as good as anybody in the group of five. Thought this was really interesting over at ESPN, just in terms of the anticipation of not just this season, but what's to come under Ryan Silverfield and the Tigers. Again, we mentioned he's armed with that new contract extension, so he's locked in for the time being. And interesting exercise that ESPN did. I'm not, again, you know, how much this all matters. So in the era of transfer portal, when rosters have a tendency, and again, guys that you depended on 1 year transferring out, especially a group of five team where, if a guy's too good, an SEC team still might come in here and offer him something that you can't. Pre-scoring was one of those guys. Now, Memphis clearly has better resources than it did a couple of years ago, and maybe that's a different battle than it was then. Mm-hmm. But my point is that you've still got, you know, poachers, potential poachers out there that want to take away from you. ESPN did an exercise where they did future power rankings.
Okay.
It's basically over the next 3 years. And they started today with offenses, okay? And it's basically a top 25 list.
Yeah.
But very specific criteria here. We're not just talking about this season, Brad. We're talking about over the next 3 years.
Okay.
So obviously, after this year with Seth Hennigan, we don't know.
Right.
You know, so you're docked a little bit for that.
Need a new quarterback.
Because some of these offenses, I've got quarterbacks in there that have multiple years of eligibility left, everything else. Mm-hmm. And so you're being graded on not just what you've got this year, but in the next couple of years to come. And still, I thought very interestingly with and knowing that Seth is going to be out of here at some point, they have got Memphis number 23 in the country. Real quick, just a little bit of nuts and bolts.
Yeah.
Top five's the usual suspects. Ohio State, Texas, Georgia, Oregon, and Alabama.
Yeah.
Tennessee, by the way, with Nico, the new quarterback, the new sensation there, they're number eight. Okay. These are again, future power rankings for offenses over the next 3 years in college football. Ole Miss, who we've loved their offense under Lane Kiffin, always been explosive, got them 11. Memphis Tigers are 23rd, and I just thought this was interesting. I'm going to read a little bit. Here's what they write. I try to own up to mistakes in this space, and Memphis's offense has earned more respect than this space has provided over the years. In the past decade, Memphis ranks fourth nationally in scoring, trailing only Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Alabama. Tigers are 12th since 2019. That's the important, because that's Ryan Silverfield. He's maintained, going back to the story here, has maintained the prowess from predecessors Mike Norvell and Justin Fuente. Although Memphis faces some questions after 2024, when record-setting quarterback Seth Hennigan departs, the program has earned the benefit of the doubt. The key, and this is some names that we're going to be talking about going forward, he writes about it. The key this fall is to develop a capable backup to Hennigan. Redshirt freshman Arrington Maiden, junior Cade Cunningham, and redshirt freshman Harris Boyd are in the mix, but none attempted a pass last season, as we know, or you either go with one of those three guys after Hennigan, or you identify a solution through the portal, as it points out. This year, you're good at receiver with Rock Taylor and Demir Blankensee. Those two combined for almost 2,000 yards last year on 122 receptions, 11 touchdowns. Also, senior Kobe Drake. who was key last year, especially in the red zone, 33 receptions, 352 yards. He's back, too. Tigers are set up well in the short term at receiver, but will need several options to emerge for 25-26. Remember, this isn't just this year. It's the next two. So there's point two that you're going to have to have some guys after Rock, after Demir Blankensy. There's no question about it. But again, goes back into what Memphis has done in the portal and points out how they made a strong offseason push for linemen in the portal and landed Kedrill Lewis from Louisiana Monroe, Trent Holler, Holler from Marshall, the other kid we talked about from South Carolina besides Mario Anderson, the lineman, Jalen Nichols, and then Chris Adams, formerly of Old Dominion, where Blake had been, but had committed at one point to Washington. They flipped him as well. And a lot of those guys, Adams, Reed, they've got multiple years of eligibility. That's what matters here going forward, right? You want to, it's like we've said with Penny Hardaway, great to get these transfers, but you want multiple year guys. That's the way to keep the continuity and consistency in your program. You've done that with some of these offensive linemen that you've brought in. Points out you lose Blake Watson, but you bring in Mario Anderson. You still got Sutton Smith. And for the time being, that's good. And what Memphis has shown, too, whether it's the kid DeRozier's that they went and got, UMass, the transfer, Greg DeRozier's that figures to add a little bit of depth to that backfield, they have shown, Brad, that at least the last two offseasons, Ryan Silverfield's been able to go in the portal, not just address needs, but also get standout players, guys that have thrived in those spots. He's brought in quality in to fill the spots. And here's the deal. If that guy is not on the roster right now, and I'm talking 25, 26, or whenever Seth Hennigan moves on, right, and you're talking about who replacing this, let's be real, you've been blessed, quite frankly. You go from Brady White to Seth, Riley, everybody else that you've had, Paxton Lynch, you've been blessed at that position here over the years. So the next guy is important in terms of, you know, who's going to lead this thing after Seth Hennigan. Arrington Maiden, Kay Cunningham, Harris Boyd, I'm not going to pretend to know who has the edge in terms of real edge, in terms of replacing Seth Hennigan, but I think this is the other part about when we talk about the way Memphis football is set up, whether it's one of those guys and you're developing them, right, and they become the replacement, move right in, you know, you're hoping for a seamless transition after Seth Hennigan departs, or this ability that Ryan Silverfield has shown to be able to go into the portal now, maybe armed, obviously, with a little bit more NIL because of Fred Smith and because of what FedEx has got. I feel great about Memphis's position now, where they're sort of stacked in the G5, how the rest of college football is looking at you. Springboard is the word we keep using it, whether it's for your players, whether it's for your AD, whether it's for your college football coach right now. You look at Memphis as an opportunity. Look at Laird Veach going on to Missouri. Look at Justin Fuente, Mike Norvell, what they've done. There's an opportunity to do that now. And Brad, not in a way where you had to turn over rocks to find prospects who others weren't looking at, or you had to go win battles that didn't include a bunch of NIL talk because you don't have that. You now have that. And so, again, back to the point, whether it's Maiden, Cunningham, or Boyd, or maybe more likely in this day and age, whether you go out and get that next guy in the transfer portal, you're set up. Again, not just for this year and fulfilling the expectations of winning the American Athletic Conference title and hopefully a college football playoff appearance that will go with that, but you are set up. Even so, you lose Seth. These guys aren't good. Maiden, Cunningham, they're you can go out now in the portal, and folks are going to recognize that Memphis name. They're going to recognize that, oh, man, yeah, Seth Hennigan was just there 4 years, had a great career there. Ryan Silverfield's running an offense that the stats say, hell, has been better than we thought it was over the last few years and, frankly, has kept him, you know, I'm not going to go as explosive as under the Mike Norvell days, but clearly last year they made huge strides on getting back to that explosiveness that Ryan Silverfield said they had to. Back to the point, it's set up to click right now. And, again, even so, without Seth Hennigan, when you're talking into stepping in that territory of the unknown, you don't know who you don't know if he's going to follow in the line of what you've had lately with Riley and Paxton and Brady White and in this case, Seth. You don't know that's an unknown. But you now are better equipped, Brad, to answer that question, maybe better than you ever have. And there's probably, you know, again, you look at the relationship that Ryan Silverfield had with Seth Hennigan over these three, now 4 years, the ability to keep him, that loyalty. Obviously, there is a connection there between those two that has helped you fend off those poachers that could have potentially come around and got Seth. You know, having that sort of relationship with your quarterback, having Seth speaking to the next guy, again, whether it's a guy that's already on the roster or the transfer portal, that can only help you in going and finding that quarterback. Okay? And so my point is, Again, I don't know that I've ever been this excited about the potential in front of Memphis football and the opportunity that it's in front of it to seize than I am right now. But I think we're all recognizing this is a fantastic time to be a Memphis football fan because of the position that they're in. And again, you could look at that record last year, 10-3, and you can poke holes in it, and I'll tell you all to the day, you know, as much as I'm crediting Ryan Silverfield right now for putting him in this position, he's got to win an American Athletic Conference title, has not done that. You can poke holes all day long, but the fact is, this is the best position this program's ever been in. And frankly, it's not just as ESPN's analytics and everything point out, the depth chart. It's not just this year that looks good. It's the future years to come with how resourced you are.
Yeah, and I don't think it was on the best trajectory it's ever been until the last month, because
he changed everything in that. You're so flipped, right about that.
It was on a good trajectory, but then when you put the stadium deal on top of the $25 million NIL deal,
you now have ownership
deal,
of the stadium.
That's why you said what you said.
The renovations coming, yeah, you know, that are
good,
now unlocked.
You took good to great when you get a linebacker, you know, an edge dude from Tennessee who had, you know, like 30, 40 tackles. And then I think what the university is now trying to do today, and two things on what you just said. First, they're trying to now get the attendance numbers up and put the season tickets out, because the excitement is actually happening a lot earlier, because like they just put an infographic out with a ticket link to go buy tickets, and there's also an NIL link when you go buy tickets, and it has, you know, 2024 top six most explosive offense in the nation according to 24/7 Sports. So they're trying to get the ticket drive out. The other thing that I like about what you said was the next 3 years. Because we've always looked at the conference, American, as this negative, and it has been a negative.
Oh, it is.
But if you look at the people who are going to be contending for the Group of Five spot, you've got Tulane, who you're probably better than now. You've got Liberty, who you should be better than, and is in a worse conference than you. And you've got Boise State, who suddenly is in an amazing conference because they're going to have to play some of these Pac-12 teams. Like today, Brett McMurphy put out the Mountain West win total from Action. He only has Boise State at 8.5 because they've got to play UNLV.
It's a more difficult schedule than you've got because of their
it's actually too difficult.
Their Mountain West schedule includes those two Pac-12 teams that you mentioned, Washington State, Oregon State.
So you've got
that's a more difficult conference schedule than what you've got.
So you probably lose one of those or both of them.
You would think.
You probably lose like a Fresno State game. You might lose a UNLV
and
game.
And they're going to lose to Oregon, you would think.
So you got like four or five games right there that are very losable for Boise, whereas Memphis has one, and that's Florida State.
Well, it puts more pressure on Memphis to be perfect.
Yes.
In its ragged, you know, raggedy conference. That's just the facts.
It's sort of like basketball used to be.
But to that point, I can argue it. Yes, Boise State and the Mountain West maybe will eat itself a little bit.
Yeah.
To where you don't have perfection coming out of there, or a one-loss Boise State team that's only lost to Oregon, and it's knocked off Washington State, it's knocked off Oregon State, and everything else in the actual Mountain West that's knocked off. That's going to be tough to do.
It's going to be
because that schedule is tougher.
You could lose a game at Air Force.
You could
lose at Colorado State.
So their schedule is tougher. So again, maybe they're coming out of it with two or three losses, and that won't be if Memphis is taking care of a business, you figure that won't be ranked higher than Memphis would be as the American Athletic Conference champion with, we're saying, just one loss to Florida State.
Yeah,
understand?
You shouldn't be losing at UAB. You shouldn't be losing at, North Texas. So it's
You can't now with where the conference is.
Right.
Again, I think I would turn around and walk away if Memphis is not the preseason number one in that conference, because I would tell you, I don't understand a damn thing.
Right.
Looking at the rest of the AAC, SMU is gone, off to the ACC. Again, Tulane, much like they write here about Memphis, has probably earned the benefit of the doubt that they will stay good to solid. There's more investment down there in football, but you lost Willie Fritz. You lost Michael Pratt, the quarterback there. So they're rebuilding. You're in a better position than you've ever been, and you have to, frankly, because of how bad the conference is. So, unfortunately for Memphis, it's a double-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
You got to kind of come out of yours perfect.
You do.
To get that spot.
You do.
It's going to have to be, because your strength of schedule, your lack of, frankly, of real strength in that conference schedule is going to hurt you. So you better hit that perfect. But again, you got Seth Hennigan back. You got this offense that should be as explosive, you know, top 10 potential in terms of explosiveness on offense in the country this year. Things are lining up pretty good for Memphis. We're going to see how they're lining up for Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. We're going to talk about these playoffs, whether or not he's with me that Dallas blew the series last night. Again, we've made some pretty extreme You know, had some pretty extreme takes after some of these games, but how could you not be down if you're the Dallas Mavericks there? And we'll talk about tonight's game fives and how big they are. Obviously, it feels like Denver's back in control. We'll do that with Nick Friedell when we get back. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. On the line is Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Nick, kind enough to join us this time every Tuesday. I've absolutely loved his insight, especially as we talk playoffs here over the last few weeks and going forward here the next few weeks. So, Nick, thank you for joining us again. We'll just start with what I thought was a blown opportunity by the Dallas Mavericks last night. We can talk about free throw shooting and everything else. I mean, SGA making all the plays down the stretch. They're hitting their free throws, playing through the physicality. You got to give them all the credit in the world. But Dallas, the way they shot from the free throw line, the fact that you had a chance to take a commanding 3-1 lead in this series, really felt like they let it get away. What surprised me, though, Nick, about this is, I guess, OKC, as young as they are, their willingness to play that game, right? To be physical, whether it's themselves having to push through it or be physical with Luka, the way Dort's defending him. I've been so impressed by, you know, them being willing to do the things you've got to do to muck this thing up or whatever it is. They'll win any way they have to. Just what did you think? And are you with me that, you know, maybe Dallas blew this series last night?
Completely. Now do I think that they blew it all the way? I wouldn't say that, only because when you have Luka and Kyrie, those are two guys who can clearly still make it happen in a game. They can carry that group when they need to. Both of those guys have shown that, especially Kyrie, at least in the postseason. Now, when you watch that game, you're going, this is Dallas's game. This is it. I could not agree with you more, because when you see a team that you know has the chance to step on a playoff opponent's neck, and they don't do it, history tells us most of the time that that's it, that the other team will find a way. The difference to me is Oklahoma City just hasn't been through these type of pressure situations.
Very true.
Together. And when you have that type of inexperience, that usually comes back to bite. But I would tell you this, the best player in this series is Shea.
Yep.
It's not Kyrie and it's not Luka, although they get way more hype and more people know exactly who they are and what their games are all about. When SGA puts together performance like he did there, and when you see him continue to gain more confidence as the series goes on, that would really scare me if you're a Mavericks fan. But there's no question, when you get the chance to shut a team down and you don't do it, those are the games that haunt you over the course of a year and certainly over the course of the summer. And I don't think it is over, but Dallas had their chance and they blew it.
You're so right about SGA, and that was MVP performance all day long down the stretch of that game. If it wasn't him knocking down the perimeter jumpers that they wanted him to shoot, right, they didn't want him getting to the basket. It was him setting up other players. I mean, he was so involved with everything they did down the stretch, and it felt like they had to be perfect to sort of do it, and they did. Chet Holmgren, Nick, is tougher than I ever thought he was going to be. And maybe that says something about me and how I misread it. But just when coming into the league, you know, missed first season off the freak injury with the, you know, you're trying to stop LeBron or whatever it was in the pickup game. You just wonder, is he ever going to be able to hold up? But then is he going to be able to, you know, return the physicality? And again, with a body that doesn't look like it can, you know, I saw at one point Lively hits him in the face, and rather than complain about it or whatever else, he gets back down on the other end. He is tougher. I knew he was skilled, Nick, but he's tougher than I ever thought he was going to be, and I thought that's been on display this series. What do you think about Chet?
As usual, I'm laughing because we're exactly on the same page. I mean, when you see that kid get drafted, you're like, man,
he ain't going to hold up.
Yeah. No way. His foot's going to break apart. Exactly. His body is not going to be able to maintain the intensity of an 82-game season on top of whatever playoff run they may make. I couldn't agree more as far as Holmgren goes, because when you watched him, certainly in college, nobody doubted the skill.
Right.
I mean, the skill was always present. and you thought, all right, he's going to get better. There's no question. Certainly he loves the game, and when guys love the game like that, the passion for it shows up over time. But you're just afraid that his body's going to break down.
Yep.
And it happened early on. I think a lot of people had started to write him off, thinking, all right, well, this is just what we're going to see over and over. But for him, not only to play the way he's been playing, but to stand up for himself in that spot, to hit the free throws that he hit, to do the things that he's done for this team, I'm right there with you, because I didn't think he would have this type of impact, especially this early.
Yep.
He is a key contributor to everything that they built, and he's a guy that has helped get them to the point they're at now, 2 wins away from the conference final.
No question about it. All right, we know what's going on with that Cleveland Celtics series, and that's an inevitable.
So, I won't
bother you with that, but I am curious. Which way are you leaning on Knicks Pacers? Obviously, we know Game 5 winners. I think it's 82% of the time in best-of-seven series in NBA playoff history. We know Pacers have won 2 in a row. You just keep pulling players away from the Knicks. You know, OG Anunoby, the anchor, that defense gone. That's right after you lose Mitchell Robinson. So the question is, yeah, Knicks slight favorite tonight because it's going back home. Who's got control here, though, of this series? Which way you think it goes?
I don't think anybody has control right now, but if I were to pick a lean, it would still be the Knicks.
Okay.
And the reason why is because I don't believe the Pacers, as young as they are and as unproven and defensively as still inconsistent as they've been, are going to be able to rise to the occasion in MSG and do it.
Yeah.
Now, I might be way wrong, and certainly I have been over the course of time on some of these series. I mean, I thought the Clippers would get by the Mavericks.
I was right with you. So I was wrong with you, buddy.
Yep. Exactly. But I think as far as the Knicks go, they look like a tired team. I know the rhetoric surrounding Tibbs in the minutes is there, and deservedly so most of the time when you have played this many minutes and this many guys are getting hurt. All that being said, give me Jalen Brunson and the defensive will of that group in the Garden in games they need. I figure at this point it's going 7. But just for context, that Cavs team that's about to be completely done against Boston last year got eaten alive at MSG. And they were a younger group. They hadn't been through it before. There were similarities to the Pacers group. I just don't know if that group is able to rise to the occasion right now. I think Jalen Brunson will find a way to get them through for the privilege of being absolutely annihilated by the Celtics.
Yeah, you cannot win that series. You can't even come close without having OG Anunoby with the pieces that they've got. I could not agree with you more. How about on the other side? It does feel like, I mean, it was 2-0, and I'm, you know, Charles Barkley's getting killed last night by, you know, Shaq and those guys for saying this thing's over when, you know, Minnesota is up 2-0, but I was right with him. I mean, I can't sit up here and say Chuck, you know, to Chuck, I thought Minnesota had full control. That frankly had penciled them into the Western Conference Finals and maybe even a finals appearance. But, man, have Jokic and those guys shown us there's a whole different level of this. And really that, I mean, what embodies it more, encapsulates it really, that last 20 seconds of that half – where Denver's getting something out of it, right? That 8 points they scored, and Jokic is in the middle with the right pass for the three-pointer. Then he gets the steal on Anthony, goes up to Porter. Then Jamal shot. It sort of embodies how, you know, well, we understand we got to get the most out of every single second you guys haven't been here. Is it as simple as, you know, sort of like maybe we said with Dallas, maybe even more so, has Minnesota blown this? I do have a problem, Nick, seeing Denver lose 3 straight games at home to open the series? Is that really going to happen?
Not with Jokic as the best player. At least I don't think so. That's the difference. And you want to talk about people penciling stuff in, Jay. What were they doing so after the first 2 games? Ant Edwards is the new face of the league.
I did it.
Ant Edwards is the next Michael Jordan. Ant Edwards is going to be the difference maker for years to come. And he still may be. I just don't think he will be in this moment. It was the one series after Minnesota got up 2-0 that I was really hesitant to to think that Denver would just roll over
you
like
were.
That. Because
you
don't win a title and then disappear. That is very rare for a team to just kind of fall over and get creamed by a younger opponent again. And this is a theme throughout the last few weeks that hasn't been there before. That's the difference to me. Minnesota, for as great as Anthony Edwards has been at times, and for as much as he's shown in the postseason, they haven't been there. Denver has. I think they got really upset with all the people naturally that were saying, this one's done. I mean, Michael Malone said as much
he did
after the game the other night. But when you watch them, you still see a team that knows what they need to do, and you see a guy in Jokic who is the best player on the floor. So every time you think that they're out, they pull you back in. And every time you think they have control, you go, Minnesota got up 2-0. What is this? I'm still taking Denver. I think they're the better team. And I think Jokic will be the guy to help them prove that over the next few days.
No, I think you're going to end up being right. We're, of course, talking to Nick Friedell here on the show. Insider Calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure and with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. All right, Nick, is Budenholzer going to fix everything that ails Phoenix? You can't do that, right? Same Disney. This time we're not talking about a Disney movie here. I mean,
there's a part of me that feels bad for Vogel because you get canned after a year and you go, what? And then you remember and see how much money he still had left on the deal and how much he's going to get paid to just hang out. Phoenix is a disaster. They're just a total mess as far as, again, winning a title. This isn't that Mike Budenholzer can't come in and get the offense into a better rhythm and find and fix some of the issues that there certainly were on the defensive end. He's a good coach. Won a title. Great. A coach is not fixing the problems that the Phoenix Suns have. The Phoenix Suns have problems in a major way because of the owner's decision. Matt Ishbia, he came in and he thought he could just spend more money and outsmart everybody, and that really doesn't happen in pro sports. We've seen that time and again, certainly in the NBA. So I don't think there's a lot of empathy for the situation in Phoenix because it was all built on arrogance, and that arrogance has been shown to be just complete hot air.
Yep.
A coaching change can make a difference, but it's not going to make the difference that Phoenix needs to go win a title. They're just not good enough. They don't have the assets to turn it around. And Budenholzer is going to make a little bit of a difference, but not nearly the difference that it's going to take to make this team that much more relevant again.
That's right. I agree with you again on that. All right, I'm putting you in the Grizz front office, and unfortunately, I can only give you the 9 pick. We were hoping for a jump, like in 2019, to a top 4, but we didn't get it. We got the 9. Just off the top of your head, is there a guy? Because, Nick, this is tough. I mean, you see, John Hollinger's got Ron Holland as the best prospect in the draft, according to him. But then you see, whether it was The Athletic or ESPN, they got Holland dropping to 9, G League elite guy, down to the Grizzlies. So who the heck knows? It just feels like the Grizzlies aren't going to have a chance at Sar or maybe even a Klingon. So I'm giving you the pick. Are you taking one of these guys? You got strong convictions on one of them? Or are you doing whatever you've got to do to get a win-now player next to Jaren? And if using that pick as part of it, you're doing that. What are you doing with the 9?
I'd be lying to you if I told you I had a guy I was really sorry about.
I know. None of us do.
I was going to say, there is not a person I've talked to.
No. This draft is terrible. It is. There's nothing. Yeah.
So bad. So I guess what I would tell all the good fans out of Memphis is, look, if ever there was a draft to have the 9 pick and just hope for the best and kind of throw the dart up against the wall and trust your scouting, this is the year because the 9 could be just as good as the 2.
That's true.
Nobody is sure.
That's true.
And when you go through all the different possibilities of this draft, nobody knows exactly who is going to be the right fit. I've never seen less hype surrounding the draft in all my years covering the league.
That's
there just does not seem to be much buzz about any specific prospect, but even more, the lack of depth is jarring, because how many times have we heard, well, it's a good class, you know, there's going to be a lot of different guys who are going to be in the league 10 years. You don't hear any of that stuff. So this is where, and we had talked about it a couple months ago, but if you trust your scouting and you trust your system that's in place, and certainly the Grizz have had success through the years developing their guys and getting a lot out of different guys over time, and this is the moment, but the 9 pick or the 15 pick or the 3 pick in this draft, it just does not matter nearly as much as we're used to it mattering.
That's right. And I mean, and the other part about it is it's win now time for the Grizzlies. And we had discussed that, you know, that Wiseman to Golden State at 2, and that you know, Wiseman ends up getting hurt. It didn't work out. Golden State didn't have time to develop, whatever, whatever. They didn't need him. And frankly, to win a championship, Memphis with, you know, having figured out some role-playing spots possibly going forward with GG and with Vince Williams, you know, you've got more options at wing behind Marcus Smart now. But the point, you got Jaren Jackson for 2 more years on contract for sure. You need to be back in the mix next year as a contender. I'm not sure that any of these guys helps that right now. Sure, maybe you find a player for down the line, but it's got to be about winning time right now for the Memphis Grizzlies, Nick. That's sort of where you're at. Nick, you are so great to join us on these Tuesdays, brother. So much appreciate your time.
I enjoy it too, buddy. I'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Yep, he is Nick Friedell, Odyssey NBA Insider. Fantastic what he does. We've loved having him as an addition to our Tuesdays. Insider calls, of course, brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Yeah, Jason Smith ain't saying don't use the draft pick on a player that you like if you really like him and develop him for down the road. But Jason Smith is saying if you could use that pick to help win now, as in using it to go help you get that veteran center, whatever else, that would be higher on my board than any of these guys. And again, I Hollinger's high on Holland, super high. DeMichael Cole loves Holland, and I love what those guys are saying about what Ron Holland could potentially be in the league. There's a lot of potential there, but I'm about right now, and that's why I'm willing to deal this pick next year's first. Again, I better get something. But I'm willing to look at all those options for winning right now. Zach Lowe is reporting Grizzlies going to be shopping around. We'll see what happens. Coming up after this break. We're going to hand you off, we know, to Giannotto and Jeffrey. No question about it. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
If your kid's a fiend for basketball, they love it. They want to get better at it. You've seen the passion. You need to get him over to Shoot 360. That way you can harness that passion, right? Take it, put that energy into getting better in a real way. Don't have him on those cones in the backyard. You're not a basketball coach. You're certainly not a trainer. You're no Noah LaRoche. You're a parent. Let the pros do it. Get him to Shoot 360. It's not just the shot, as the name would indicate, that they're going to work on and fix and have you dropping those jumpers left and right. The ball handling, the passing, it's all going to be addressed out there. They've got it super interactive like a video game. So your kid's going to be in love with the training itself, not going to feel necessarily like they're working. But best believe the work's going to be going in out at Shoot 360. Again, they've got the development coaches, the weight training. They can improve your vertical, as they've done with Eric Hasseltine's son. He tells me all about it. They can improve everything about your game. So it's the whole game. It's happening out at Shoot 360. Got the new place coming up in Cordova, new, bigger, better, improved version up in Cordova here later this summer. Right now, you need to get to 85 Mark Center Drive in Collierville. That is where they are currently located and where you can get your place in line. It's the future basketball training going on right now in Memphis. The future's at Shoot 360. Go see them at 85 Mark Center Drive in Collierville.
Picks! Picks! Picks!
The Fade Brad picks are in. He's on the favorites tonight, Knicks and Nuggets. Knicks -1.5, Denver -4. We're hoping for 2 L's. We know Brad's power is strong. Thank you to our guests today, Jessica Benson and the great Nick Friedell. Make sure to stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're gone.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
If your kid's a fiend for basketball, they love it. They want to get better at it. You've seen the passion. You need to get them over to Shoot 360. That way you can harness that passion. Right? Take it. Put that energy into getting better in a real way. Don't have them on those cones in the backyard. You're not a basketball coach. You're certainly not a trainer. You're no Noah LaRoche. You're a parent. Let the pros do it. Get them to Shoot 360. It's not just the shot, as the name would indicate, that they're going to work on and fix and have you dropping those jumpers left and right. The ball handling, the passing, it's all going to be addressed out there. They've got it super interactive like a video game. So your kid's going to be in love with the training itself, not going to feel necessarily like they're working. But best believe the work's going to be going in out at Shoot 360. Again, they've got the development coaches, the weight training. They can improve your vertical, as they've done with Eric Hasseltine's son. He tells me all about it. They can improve everything about your game. So it's the whole game. It's happening out at Shoot 360. Got the new place coming up in Cordova, the new bigger, better, improved version up in Cordova here later this summer. Right now, you need to get to 85 Mark Center Drive in Collierville. That is where they are currently located and where you can get your place in line. It's the future basketball training going on right now in Memphis. The future's at Shoot 360. Go see them at 85 Mark Center Drive in Collierville.
Picks! Picks! Picks!
The Faye Brad picks are in. He's on the favorites tonight, Knicks and Nuggets. Knicks -1.5, Denver -4. We're hoping for two L's. We know Brad's power is strong. Thank you to our guests today, Jessica Benson and the great Nick Friedell. Make sure to stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're gone.